Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Have you ever been out late at night and come home in the dark and someone in your house has left the light on for you? That's the picture that I had as I was preparing for today's talk. Of someone coming home in the dark, but the porch light was left on for them. Sometimes we've been away from home for whatever reason, and it is so wonderful when someone leaves the light on for us, so that even when it's dark outside, we can find our way home. Home is where the lights stay on, where you're welcomed. The light is on because someone is expecting you, looking for you. There's room for you. You are known. We're in a series called Home, and after all the disruption and change of the pandemic, we are together finding our way home, returning to worshiping together, returning to community and life together. So if you're just joining us for the first time, you've picked a great time to visit, and you're so welcome. Maybe this church family will become home for you. If you're watching from another part of the world, we're delighted that you're joining us. If you're tuning in locally, we'd love to see you in person on a Sunday. As part of this series, we have been saying that home is a place of blessing, of nurturing, and of launching. In a healthy home, we receive all of these things. We need all of these things in order to flourish and become the person that God has made us to be. Our prayer for you as a pastoral team as we've prepared for this series is that you would enter into a life-changing experience of the love of the Father, that you would receive His blessing, that you would be formed and nurtured into a mature Jesus follower, and that you would step out in confidence into the calling that God has placed on your life. Well, maybe you've noticed that these things don't come naturally, easily. This journey home is not without its struggles. Sometimes it feels like we have to really fight our way home. Of course, this pandemic has added to the struggle, but long before COVID was a household name, we've been in a struggle. In fact, Jesus told us that in this world, we would have trouble. We don't want that to be true. I certainly don't. We don't like the struggle, but let's be honest. Life, and even the life of a follower of Jesus, is full of struggle. Even when we know our way home, even when we are familiar with our Father's house in His presence, even when we are at home and comfortable with the people of God, even when our actual physical homes are a place where God is worshipped, even still, we have our struggles. If you remember back to our recent series on Ephesians, here's a verse that we talked about at that time. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities and the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. We have an enemy who is prowling around like a lion. We are in a spiritual battle. Increasingly, this is an unpopular idea. It clashes pretty hard with the culture and the narrative around us. We feel uncomfortable talking about some sort of cosmic battle between good and evil. It seems archaic, it seems old-fashioned, like something from another time. People think we're weird and we're superstitious. Or maybe we've had a bad experience with churches that emphasize the demonic so much. Maybe there isn't a demon under every bush. Maybe there isn't some sort of supercharged magic silver bullet prayer or formula to cut through every bad thing that's ever happened to us. Or maybe we've just never really thought about it before. Maybe it was never taught about in the church we've come from. But if what Paul says in the book of Ephesians is true, and if what the rest of the biblical narrative tells us is true, and if what we see in Jesus' life and in the Gospels is true, then we need to factor in the spiritual battle into our thinking and into our worldview. We need to become aware of it, not frightened of it, though, because contrary to some other comic books and fairy tales we may have read as children, this is not a cosmic battle between two equal and opposing forces. God and Satan are not equal in strength. Satan loses this battle in the end. But in the meantime, until that day, we are in a battle. I personally believe this to be true for several reasons. First, the Bible teaches it. Second, I've seen and experienced too much in my life and in pastoral ministry. Third, I watch and read the news. There is just too much evil and darkness in this world. So what that means for us as followers of Jesus is this. Coming home looks like coming out of the darkness and into the light. Second, coming home is about walking in that light. And lastly, coming home is about bringing that light into a dark world. In the very beginning, God separated light and darkness, night and day. Genesis 1:4 tells us, "And God saw that the light was good." And this good light is part of a good habitat, a garden, a perfect home for humankind. But Adam and Eve are seduced by the lies of the serpent, and we see sin and separation from God enter the storyline. They no longer walk with God in the garden like they used to. Instead, Adam and Eve hide in fear and in shame, and they end up leaving their home, leaving the garden. If God is the light maker, our enemy is the light extinguisher, and he will do all that he can to turn the lights off, to blind us, to remove us from our home, and to prevent us from finding our way back home. He has been lying and deceiving since the garden, and he continues to do so today. But we were made for the garden. We were made for this perfect home, and something within us longs for it. Something within us battles for more and fights against the darkness and the injustice of the world that we live in. Here is what writer and pastor Frederick Buechner says. He says, "The longing for home is so universal a form of longing that there is even a special word for it, which is, of course, homesickness." Homesickness. Have you ever felt homesick? I definitely have. When I first left Austria, which is where I grew up, at the age of 17 and went to Chicago to study, I was desperately homesick. It was so strong, it was like a physical experience in my body, like a pain in my chest. I didn't like America when I first moved there. No offense to any Americans watching. I really just longed to be in my home. And even though I have now lived in Belfast for over 20 years, I still have a recurring dream, probably several times a year, of wandering through the city of Vienna, looking for my home. But there is another kind of homesickness that I experienced over the course of this pandemic, and it was a longing for the house of God, the presence of God, gathered worship. I really enjoy worshiping God by myself, but I'm going to be honest with you, I totally ran out of steam for doing only that in this pandemic. I just needed to be in the house of God with the people of God. I felt that longing for my spiritual home in my bones. I know many of you have felt that way too. You too have a longing for the presence of God. You can relate to what I'm saying about feeling homesickness for the house of God and for worship and encounter with Him. But here's the thing. My experience with homesickness is also that it fades over time. I don't feel that same sort of longing for my former homeland. I have little snippets and moments, and I have those dreams every so often, but I don't feel that pain in my chest anymore. And to some degree, that's a relief because I've settled so well here. But partly it's devastating because it means my longing for my former home has faded into the background. It's something of the past, somewhere I used to live and someone I used to be. For some of you, the longing for home has faded and the light is dim. Maybe you're like me with my dreams of Vienna. Your spiritual home or your identity as a Jesus follower feels like a distant dream, something you used to do or somewhere you used to be, a place that you used to go. Or maybe that deep longing for home has only ever been a distant, dim light. Maybe you've never actually really come home in the spiritual sense. Coming back to that image of the house with the lights left on at night, maybe you've stood at a distance and seen the light, but you've never journeyed towards it. I hadn't been able to see my family, who now live in Croatia, for over 2 years, and I was there just a couple of weeks ago, and it was really wonderful to see them. And while it's not my home anymore, there was something about being with my family that caused me to remember very significant pieces of my life and who I am. Parts of me, like speaking other languages, or how much I love eating Wiener Schnitzel and Strudel, I had to go back to my parents' home to remember. We come home to remember, because we forget, because memories fade. Maybe, like me returning to my family home, you need to return to your spiritual home. But there's a struggle, isn't there? A battle around coming home. And we've seen how in this pandemic, how hard it has been for us to find our way home. It wasn't easy before the pandemic, and it's far from easy now. One of the lies that's out there is that you can and should only come home when you're doing well, when you've got it all together. But the truth is that home is exactly where you need to be. When you have fears and doubts and griefs and disappointments. A friend of mine messaged me a couple of weeks ago to say, "I am not okay." That is what home is for. We don't wait to go home when we're fixed. We go home even when, and especially when, we feel broken. For all of you who have experienced church as a place of judgment and where you have not been permitted to ask honest questions or raise honest concerns, I'm really sorry. In God's house, the lights are on, the door is open for everyone, and you are invited to come as you are, not as you feel you should be. That's a big one, isn't it, in our religious upbringing? Maybe you need to take a moment to consider the expectations for perfection and good living that you have been under. We may struggle on our way home, but there is a light powerful enough to help us to overcome the darkness, and his name is Jesus. I love how the Gospel of John echoes the Genesis story. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word here is Jesus, who later on in John tells us that he is in fact the light of the whole world. He has defeated death and darkness. Maybe it's time to give your yes to Jesus. Maybe it's time to be led by his light. Maybe your own light isn't getting you very far, and curating your own perfect life, to quote my husband's recent talk, isn't working for you anymore. Maybe you are exhausted. This light isn't just for those of us who aren't following Jesus. This is for all of us. Are we relying on, depending on Jesus to light the way for us? Are we asking him to illuminate the way ahead? Are we allowing his light into our thinking? Is it informing our decisions and helping us manage our emotions? The Apostle Peter wrote to a church under pressure, experiencing real trials, and this is what he said to them. "You are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he has called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and God has called us out of darkness and into His wonderful light. Do you know that you are chosen? Do you know that you are royalty, set apart and holy? Do you know that? Peter goes on to say, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when He judges the world." As Peter says, there is a war on against our very souls. The word soul here means inner or spiritual person. That is where the battle is. It's in our minds. It's in our hearts. When our kids were little, we read this book with them called The Battlefield of the Mind, the kids' version by Joyce Meyer. She had this brilliant analogy of what she called thought balloons. All the negative thoughts that pop up into our minds, she described them as balloons, and kids were invited to visualize these negative thought balloons and burst them with the power of Jesus and His truth. What are the thought balloons that you need to burst? The things you believe about yourself that do not line up with what Jesus says about you and your life. The things you believe about yourself because someone somewhere has spoken something terrible over you or something has happened to you. What is it that you need to bring into the light? Jesus invites us not just to live in the light on the outside and in the way that people can see, but on the inside, in every part of us. He is the light of the world, including every part of you and your world. He calls us to live, to walk in the light. 1 John 1, 5-7 says this, "This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light and there is no darkness in Him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." One of the ways that the enemy extinguishes the light in us is to keep us separated from community, to keep us away from that fellowship with one another. Sometimes we can't see the light in ourselves. We need to see the light in the lives of others, and we need to call it out in their lives. A couple of Sundays ago, our son received a prophetic word in BCV Youth. It meant so much to me as a parent. I don't even have words to express the gratitude that I feel to the youth leader who stepped up and took that risk and spoke something out, brought the light in. It is the work of a community to shine the light on what God is doing and to speak life over one another, to remind us who we are and what our calling is. Sometimes this encouragement comes through the words that we speak, just like what happened in BCV Youth. Other times, it's just being around one another. And this is why this pandemic has dealt us such a devastating blow, because we've missed being with one another, not just for a good chat and a cup of coffee, but because we need to see the work of the Spirit, that light and the power of Jesus, in each other. I remember being at Friday Church a couple of years ago, and I was not having a good day. I did not feel like worshiping. But I stood near a woman who was worshiping her socks off. And I knew her story. I knew how she had suffered, how much she had lost, how she had to leave everything and flee to another country. But still, she worshiped. And in that moment, it was her worship that switched the lights on for me. And I thought to myself, well, if she can worship after everything she has been through, so can I. We need to be together, not because of what happens at the front. We need to be together because of what happens in the room. What if she hadn't come along that day? When we come together, when we are at home together, the lights come on in some dark places inside of us, just like it did for me that day. We've been through a dark time, and it's time to get those lights on. It's time to worship in a room together. Those of you who are watching online, if there's any way for you to get actual fellowship with real humans, I so recommend that you pursue this. If you're still at risk because of the virus, you probably need to look at how you could possibly do that in some way. Those of you that tune in from other parts of the world, you are so welcome to our online service. And yet, if there is a church near you that you could go to, would you please, please consider doing that? There's nothing like the people of God in worship pushing back the powers and the principalities of darkness. Worship and being in worship with others turns the lights on for us. We see again. We remember who we are. Just like in that moment in Friday church, I snapped out of the funk that I was in. Alone and away from community, we lose sight of who we are and we lose sight of our reality. We lose sight of the battle that we are actually in, and we run out of strength to keep fighting on our own. We need community, the people of God, to help us see ourselves and our story as God would see it, and help us bring our darkness, our junk, into the light. I was listening to a podcast this week where a man told his life story. His mom had lied to him about who his biological father was, and at age 19, through a fluke event, he discovered the truth of who his father was. And at age 70, which is how old he was when he was being interviewed, he was able to say about his life that although he came from a family of truth concealers, he was called to be a truth bringer. I think this is so powerful. He just flipped it around from truth concealer to truth bringer. What is your story? What is it you're called to? Think for a moment of the areas in your life where you have experienced continual opposition. What is it you've tried to step out in, take risks in, and there's been a constant battle? Sometimes we face opposition because it's actually the thing that we were made to do, and the enemy does not want us to do it. The enemy, however, is not creative. He just repeats the same lie over and over again. But perhaps the opposite of that lie tells us something about the truth, our true identity, our true purpose. Maybe you don't have a clever one-liner like that man did, but there will be something in your story, and it's possibly your point of greatest weakness or vulnerability. And what the enemy wants to do is to keep that locked down and in darkness. Keep you locked down and ashamed, but the truth will set you and others free. Maybe, for instance, you've suffered from depression, but actually God wants to empower you to see others healed and set free through you, through your story. Of course, it's Jesus who sets us free, but it is often the case that Jesus uses us, his people, to help others step out of darkness and into the light. In this community, there are people who would love to help you on your journey, to pray with you, to walk with you. We have Gospel of Wholeness, a one-to-one discipleship opportunity where someone will journey with you over a period of time and help bring things into light. BCV also has a small counseling team who would love to help and serve you in that way, or point you towards another counseling service that could really help you. If you want to access any of this or prayer ministry, if you're struggling to figure out what might be a good next step for you, just feel free to drop me an email, harmony@belfastcityvineyard.com, or look at things that we have readily available for you on our website. Talk to your life group leaders. There are so many different ways that you can access help to help bring these things into the light. I love seeing people get free. I love getting free of stuff myself. We have so many stories of people's lives being completely changed. One story I was reminded of as I was preparing for this was a guy who visited our church from another country. And he visited our worship school, and we were talking about worship, surprise, surprise. At the end of it, he asked for prayer because he felt called to sing in worship. But when he tried to do that, he just completely shut down and he actually couldn't get a note out. Well, it turns out somebody spoke something over him when he was very, very young. And as a result, he had lived under something like a curse. We prayed for him, and by the end of that time together, he sang out in front of around 10 people, including his wife, who was a complete and utter mess because she had never, ever heard him sing before. Since then, he's gone on to be a worship leader and to record worship music. It's not wonderful. Of course, in my own story, I've also battled all sorts of physical and emotional issues around my voice, the ability of speaking, singing, and it's such a great joy to be able to help others find freedom as well. The best way to walk in the light is together, with others, in community. Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light in all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Wait a minute, I thought Jesus was the light of the world, but here Matthew is telling us that we are the light of the world. We first moved to Northern Ireland 20 years ago, this place still felt very religious. I feel we've been on some sort of accelerated track into post-Christendom in Northern Ireland. We've moved through those gears really rapidly in the last couple of years, and the landscape has really changed, hasn't it? Maybe some of us find that threatening. It's suddenly gotten a lot harder to be a Christian. Well, that's probably true. On the other hand, when I first moved here, everyone seemed to have some sort of an idea about what it meant to be a Christian, and it wasn't always helpful. It was like the population had been inoculated against Jesus. They had just enough to think they had it covered, but that actually caused them to be disinterested and disengaged. When I first moved here, I had actually never heard of the phrase good living. Some of you maybe still haven't heard of that phrase. I think I was sitting in a taxi my first year of living here, and he was talking to me about why I was here and so on. And he asked me if I was good living. I didn't know what that was. So he explained to me that good living is you go to church, you refrain from drinking, you don't smoke, you don't swear, all of that. It was actually hard to get through to him that being a Christian, following Jesus, was so much more than that. And that's what it sometimes felt like when I first lived here. I'd also never heard the term backslidden so many times. Half of Northern Ireland seemed to be backsliding. People described themselves as backslidden Christians, like that was a place you could be, that was like your surname or something. Hi, my name is Harmony and I'm backslidden. It was super weird to me. I don't hear much of that sort of talk anymore. The ground is shifting, and I think it might feel unsettling to those of us who want to walk in the light, but I think we must remember that the light shines brighter in darkness. We can let our light shine before others, and it will be noticed in a whole new way in the world that we live in. I didn't move to Northern Ireland because I had a dream in my heart to see lukewarm Christians meet together on a Sunday. I moved here because I have a dream in my heart to see a powerful and dynamic community who are on fire for Jesus, whose light is radiant, not perfect, still human, still on our journey, but whose lives are compelling, like a light shining on a hill. And so I love what God is doing in our community. I'm so encouraged by the light that I see in you. I'm so moved by the great length that many of you are willing to go to in order to let your light be seen, even at great personal cost. But this pandemic has pulled the rug out from many of us. It has dislodged some of us from our spiritual home. It has eroded our weekly and daily rhythms of prayer and worship. It has caused some of us to forget who we are and what we were made for. At the start of this pandemic, everyone was asking, is this pandemic God's doing or the enemy's? There isn't space today to talk about what I think about that, but I will say this. We are in a spiritual battle. We were in this battle long before the pandemic, and it is still the reality today. Because it is a spiritual battle, our brother is not the enemy, as John Wimber would say. Our battle is not ultimately against flesh and blood, against people. And because it's a spiritual battle, our weapons and strategies should be spiritual. They should be of the Spirit. And so, just as a side note, these weapons will look like the kinds of things that Jesus did, laying our lives down, serving others, showing mercy and kindness, praying for healing, casting out demons, speaking out against injustice. The kingdom of God is subversive in its ways. It is not what people expect. The rules of engagement are not our own, they are God's. It is His kingdom, His terms, and His weapons are not our weapons or the enemy's weapons. We don't even understand this sometimes, but I needed to say that because this is a violent world and there are some mixed up ideas out there about what it looks like to engage with the world around us. Let's be careful that we are actually doing it God's way. And lastly, because it's a spiritual battle, we stand in our spiritual authority as followers of Jesus. We have been given power to live as children of the light. As Andy often says, you don't need the power of the Holy Spirit to go to Tesco's. Well, maybe you do if you're going to there to pray for someone or to buy food for someone or to tell someone in Tesco's about Jesus. But what he's getting at is we are empowered to do the works of the kingdom. That's what the power is for. We are empowered not so that we can have a comfortable life, but so that we can be the light in dark places. That's not easy. And in fact, it might feel impossible. Our spiritual father, Steve Nicholson, who just celebrated 42 years of ministry, always said this: dare to do something so great for the kingdom that it is doomed to failure unless God is in it. What he means is, and kind of what Andy's getting at about Tesco's, we are called to bring the light into dark places. We can't do that in our own strength. But in Him, we can see the darkness tremble. In Him, we can see all sorts of breakthroughs, big and small. And we should be awake to the things on His heart, what He wants to do, even if it seems scary and beyond us. I believe that Jesus wants to remind us today of the authority that we have. The authority that we have because of our identity in Him. Because we are His children, His light becomes our light. His power becomes our power. It struck me as I was reading the passages that I quoted today that so many of them are action-based. They are moving. We are urged to come out of the light, to walk in the light. And so to close, here are some more actions that we can take. And those of you watching this right now, if you're at home or somewhere else that you can stand up, so not if you're driving your car, but if you can stand up from your seat and read this aloud with me, that would be absolutely wonderful. So let's read this together, the whole armor of God. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. You might need to memorize this passage. Read it several times a day. When I've taught this to my kids when they were little, we sort of acted it out. We visualized it. We need to declare this over ourselves. Doing that forms something in us. It raises our alertness, our awareness levels. It gives us tools to help us in our everyday struggles. It helps us walk in the light and to discern the darkness. It helps us in the struggle to find our way home, even when we feel far away. So where is Jesus inviting you to walk in the light? And what is it that he is inviting you to bring into the light? Let's pray. Father, thank you that you keep the lights on for us even when we are far from home. And Jesus, thank you that you are the light of the world and you lead us with your light. And Holy Spirit, thank you that you put that light inside of us so that we can bring the light into this dark world. And I just pray today for anyone who's really battling and struggling. Come, Holy Spirit, strengthen those of us that are weary and weak. Open our eyes to see the light, to discern, and to find our way home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.